Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up. We are currently going through a series in our life-changing truths journey. We're looking at some marriage verses. And as a matter of fact, remember, the first thing that we looked at was that saying that says, any marriage can work if you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. And so here is a list of the right thing. As we're going over some verses, we're finding out what is the right thing to do in marriage. How do you... I'm hearing a little echo here, so we're trying to fix that right now. Too many people with recording devices in the studio.
I think we've got to fix Facebook now. Yeah.
Okay, so marriage according to the Bible, that's what we're looking at right now. And again, I'll say that again, any marriage can work if you have two people willing to do the right thing. And so I'll ask you, if you're married today, are you willing to do the right thing? Yeah, but my wife, yeah, but my husband, no, but you don't know my problem. Wait, no, that's not the question I'm asking you. Are you having a hard time in your marriage? I'm asking you, are you willing to do the right thing? Because that's what we're going to keep doing as we go through these scriptures. We're going to hold your feet to the fire, not your husband's, not your wife's. It's up to you to do the right thing. You can't make your spouse do the right thing.
Amen, yes.
And so if two people are willing to do the right thing, of course, we're going to have a great marriage. And so what we're doing is right now we're going through a list of scriptures that, kind of help you think what's the right thing. You know, and by the way, I'll remind you, a lot of the verses we're looking at aren't even marriage verses. They're Christian verses. They're the right thing that a Christian should do, like being kind to one another or loving your enemy or forgiving one another. We've been looking at verses that are to Christians, for crying out loud. If you can't love your enemy, then you're going to have a hard time in your marriage. But if you're expected to love your enemy, if you're expected to love your neighbor, and you're working at obeying those commands of Jesus, then certainly you need to move up in your priority list how you treat your wife or how you treat your husband. So we're going to continue in this text. I'll tell you more about it in a second. But we do have some special guests visiting us from out of town, some old friends of ours, actually from Southern California. We have Pastor John Schaefer, who's pastor of First Love in Whittier, and his wife Maureen, who've been, we've known them forever. You know, I think we knew them just before they got born. That's how long we've known them.
Before they knew each other,
yeah,
we knew
actually,
them.
Actually, we did. We've known them before they met each other. And now they're parents and grandparents, you're right? Oh, my goodness.
That must make
us pretty old. So listen, I'm going to let Linda tell you how you could get involved, maybe if you want to call in, if you have questions, if you want to interact. But I'm just warning you, we do have a full house here. We probably have plenty to say here, but we still want to leave the lines open if you want to call us.
If you want to call and be live on the radio with us, that number would be 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If you can't handle the idea of talking live on the radio, then go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. That one is 208-891-2635. And if you are out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave comments for us, or you can even call in and talk to us. We know that we are going to have a lot of new people because John and Maureen are also sharing this on their Facebook pages. So we got four Facebook pages going right now with this. So if you want to call right now, I'm going to tell you one more time the number. If those of you out there, especially in California, you want to call us, 208-377-3790.
Okay. Now, of course, this is how we do it, John and Maureen. If there's something you have to say, you just let us wave. Let me know, and I'll turn the camera towards you because we are on film, not just on radio. So listen, the verse we started with here is 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8, at least the verse, the current verse we're on. And it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we talked about this in depth already last week, but I want to remind you that if we're supposed to have fervent love for one another and love covers for one another. We did talk about that, not exposing each other's sins and making embarrassing one another and trying to make each other look bad in the church. This is Christians in general. How much more should this apply to our marriages, that you cover each other's back and you love covers a multitude of sins? Remember, we talked about, I don't make Linda the brunt of my jokes. You know, when I was a young man, the way young men joke is you make fun of each other. You don't do that in your marriage. So we've had to learn some things along the way, and we'll pass it along to you. Hopefully, you'll realize that as well. So we went from 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8, and we already talked about all this stuff. So I want to jump ahead before we leave this text. I want to jump ahead to verse 12, because in my Bible, I don't know about yours, but in my Bible, the subtitle is Suffering for God's Glory. Now, that kind of fits marriage sometimes, okay? Not always, but, you know, life in general as a Christian, there's times when the right thing to do is put up with suffering. The right thing to do isn't revenge or get them back or make them hurt. They made you hurt, you make them hurt. The right thing to do is knowing when it's time to suffer according to the will of God. Now, that's a weird phrase that a lot of people don't like, but I want you to know, in this text, we'll look at it. There is a such thing as suffering according to the will of God. Some people tell you, well, Christians aren't supposed to suffer. Christians are supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and never get sick and blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is, if you're reading your Bible, there's times we are supposed to suffer according to the will of God. Matter of fact, our great example.
Just look at this room. Look at us in this room. The suffering that we've gone through.
Oh, okay. I thought, yes. What am I missing here?
No, the different suffering that we've gone through.
And the ultimate right picture is our Savior. Yes. Talk about suffering according to the will of God. That's exactly what Jesus did. And he set an example for us to follow, that there's times that suffering, your suffering, not just somebody else's suffering, my friend, there's times that your suffering can bring glory to God.
Amen.
It can encourage others, that they'll see if you can keep walking with the Lord in the midst of what you're going through, then maybe I can too. And so, John.
You know, I was thinking about it. You know, the scripture you guys used recently had to do with covering a multitude of sins, and that in our marriages, you know, we can't be looking for each other's sins because we are sinners and we're going to see them.
Right.
And we can't be just out to pick each other apart. And if we're suffering together, we're going through a trial, like say it's something that you guys, one person's going through, or you're going through it with your kids. Well, sometimes trials bring you together.
Absolutely.
And they cause you to pray.
Right.
And then all of the nitpicky things as far as that you should be overlooking, you begin to overlook those things because you're going through suffering. But we shouldn't have to need suffering to walk in that kind of love.
Unfortunately, suffering sometimes puts us in that place where we forget about our little piddly things we want to complain about and causes us to huddle together.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
So thank you for that, John. That's good. Listen, I do want to jump ahead to that suffering verse now in verse 12. And let me just read it. And then we'll see. Within this room, we've probably got 150 years of ministry. No, I'm kidding. But we get a lot of years of ministry combined in here. And I'm sure there's things. And you know what? Like Linda said, look at this room. You listening audience, you don't understand what she meant by that. Just look at the people in this room. But there are, in this room, our stories contain much suffering for the will of God, or within the will of God, okay? So let me read. Let's see. We'll see how far we get here in these verses, and then we'll make some comments. Beloved, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. It says, don't think it strange as if some strange thing happened. Well, there are strange things that happen to all of us in life, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and God rest upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed. but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in order in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those things, what will be the end of those things who do not obey the gospel? And it goes on. Oh, there, let me read to verse 19, because there's the line I was looking for. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Here's the verse I was talking about, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now, I just want you to catch that, because there are people today who will tell you, if you're walking right with God, then you shouldn't suffer. As a matter of fact, that's what Job's counselors, Job's false comforters said, that if you were right with God, you wouldn't be suffering like this. There must be sin in your life. There must be something you did wrong, and so on. And so beware of that false doctrine. The scriptures say right here in 1 Peter 4:19 that let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good. So here's the point, and then we're going to back up from here. When you suffer according to the will of God, your job is to keep doing good. Now, we were just talking about this at breakfast this morning. You know, sometimes people are suffering and they decide, well, I deserve a little sin. I want some pleasure in life. So people fall into their favorite sins, whether it's drugs or pornography or unfaithfulness, whatever your favorite sins are. When you're suffering, sometimes you become more vulnerable to those things. Keep your guard up and keep doing good. If you're suffering today, my friend, what the Bible tells you, particularly in 1 Peter 4:19, that if you're suffering according to the will of God, then your job is to keep doing good and commit your soul to a faithful creator. Now, there's a whole lot more here to say, and I've got lots I could say, but I think I need to share the mic here. John?
You know, I was thinking, and I know we've got a good group here to talk, but, you know, the will of God, if you're married, is your marriage, and it's working Absolutely. On your marriage. It's making your marriage what it should be, and it's sticking with your marriage, not just right. giving up on your marriage. I understand that there's horrific events that happen that make changes, but, you know, on the ordinary life's situations, there are things that would be considered suffering in marriage.
Right.
Things that you're going to go through in just relating to one another, and not just hardships you're going through with each other, but as a result of each other.
That's right.
And
right.
in that, you have to know that, first of all, I'm in God's will just by following Christ. And then secondly, I'm in God's will because I'm in this marriage. So I'm not to look to get out of God's will and to leave this marriage just because there's suffering in this marriage. And a lot of people look at suffering in their life as a means of, I've got to look for an escape hatch. But it's really not the escape hatch. It's just committing yourself to him in doing the will of God. I'm going to do your will, Lord, in my marriage, right. no matter what kind of suffering I'm facing right now.
Amen.
Right. Yes. And, you know, I would warn some of you out there, particularly you ladies, there's a real thing going around right now with calling everything abuse. I mean, I've known gals who read a book on abuse, and they go, that's my husband. He's abusive. And that gives you a right to leave your marriage. Wait, what is abuse? Okay, because abuse is being redefined. I understand that abuse can be controlling, manipulative. It can be verbal. It can be physical. There's all kinds of levels of abuse. But to be honest with you, Jesus never gave abuse or verbal abuse as a means of divorce. He never says, look, if your husband doesn't make you feel like the queen, if he makes you feel bad about yourself, then you should leave him. Wait, that needs to be fixed. I'm not excusing it. Okay, understand this. Men, you need to learn to love your wives and make them feel like a queen, okay? But my concern is I'm seeing a trend that there's a whole lot of women just finding that escape route like that you're describing, John, because their husband isn't everything he should be. He's a clug. He's a clunk. What do you call it? You know, he's just kind of like a bull in a china closet, and he's making a mess of things. He needs to learn to love his wife. He needs to learn to do things right. But don't use that as an excuse just to escape your marriage. You're suffering, And it's true. But like John said, you're suffering according to the will of God. Well, I believe it's God's will to save a marriage. I believe it's God's will to make that every marriage work. And we think, well, if I'm uncomfortable, it must not be God's will. Wait a second here. You are suffering according to the will of God. Hold course, do good, and of course, get some counseling, do what you can to get things fixed. But, you know, you've got to keep in mind, escape is not an option.
Mike, I'm going to ask you a question here because we did get a text come in.
Okay.
And it would totally change the topic. So I'm going to put you on the spot. You need to decide if okay. you want to answer this on air or if you would rather wait, continue the topic we're on and answer
okay,
off
sure.
air. Okay, question is, does God create people for hell?
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one.
The short answer, no. Okay,
yes.
Absolutely not. There is a brand of theology out there who would tell you that God is got it all written out, who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, and there's nothing you could do about it, and some people are just born for hell, and that no, that's an absolute lie. I believe you can, by the way, you can stack the scriptures however you want to say whatever you want if you ignore some scriptures and just focus on others. So wherever you're hearing this from, you may be hearing it from people who are stacking the scriptures.
This is the same person that had the questions about John Piper before.
Oh,
so
okay. Well, you know, then it seems like this is coming from a Calvinistic view. The Reformed theology would tend to ultimately, they'll tell you that some people are predestined for heaven, some people are predestined for hell, and there's nothing you could do about it. It's just locked in, okay? And that's where this thinking would come from, that are some people created for hell? I would say the Bible would speak against that, okay? Now, beyond that, I don't. Maybe we could handle that tomorrow or something because okay. we want to continue on this course. But absolutely not. That is not the nature of God. That is not the character of God. Matter of fact, let me recommend a book to you. It's a book by Dave Hunt called What Love Is This? Linda's going to put it in the text for you in case you don't get this right. But it's What Love Is This? And it's actually a very deep look at Calvinism and Calvin himself. And the author writes and questions, what kind of love is this? Is this the love of God? Is this the God of love? Absolutely, you know, it's a rhetorical question. And hopefully, if you read that book, you come to the end of it and realize this is not the God of the Bible, okay? So anyway, I probably got a whole bunch of people mad who are my Calvinist friends listening right now, but obviously I just blew my cover. I'm not a Calvinist, okay? So anyway, no, God did not create people for hell. He created hell for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. And then there are those who will end up in hell, those who reject Christ, those who refuse to submit their life and put their faith in Christ. And if there's more, maybe you could text more if you have more question about that, and maybe we could deal with it more tomorrow. But I'm thinking even that should be enough right now. Okay, if you need more, let me know. Maybe we'll deal with it tomorrow. So let me pick up where we left off here about, let's see, we're talking about those who suffer according to the will of God. One of the things I want to bring out here, and again, I don't want to hog the time, so let me know if you've got something else to say like John has. It says, where did it say? Oh, about an evildoer, like in verse 15. It says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, nor as a busybody, even somebody who's nosy, okay? But if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Here's the thing I don't want you to miss here. I've seen people who have done wrong, and they walk around with their head up high like, well, I'm being persecuted for the name of Christ. No, you're being persecuted because you've sinned, because you broke the law. You're in jail because you stole, or whatever you did, you're in jail for a reason, because you committed a crime. There is no glory in being persecuted because you deserve persecution, okay? There's no glory in being punished for being rightfully punished because you broke the law, okay? Now, that's a whole nother thing, and that's what Peter is trying to bring out here when he talks about the difference between don't suffer as an evildoer, but if you suffer as a Christian, then don't be ashamed. Matter of fact, God can be glorified in your suffering if you're suffering as a Christian. Maureen.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I know I like the part that you said that if we're suffering, like let's say in our marriage, there's some strains, maybe you're talking to the women out there specifically, if your husband is, you know, dealing with an addiction, or he doesn't know the Lord, or he's going through a period of depression and he's taking it all out on his wife and ignoring you, or maybe belittling you, or just coming up short as the support that God would have him to be. I like in the verse it says, if you suffer according to God's will, meaning you want to suffer the way you're supposed to suffer,
yeah.
Not just doing good, but it also says to commit yourself to the faithful Creator. You're not alone in it. You know, you always have, if you're in a bad marriage, Jesus is with you.
Yeah,
amen. And he knew how to suffer correctly, meaning he suffered in a way that he pleased his Father through the suffering. And so I met a lady this week, and she has a difficult marriage, and I was talking to her, and she said, you know, I had an epiphany. I realized that this marriage, at least the way it is right now, is my cross. And I'm a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to not go, I hate this cross. I need to pick it up and own it and say, this is the kind of marriage I have. Knowing God could change it at any time, but I'm not guaranteed. How do I pick it up and carry it?
Good.
How do I carry it? Because I'm a disciple before I'm a wife. There is no marriage or taking of marriage in heaven. And we give account for what we do with how we love the person we're married to. And she just decided, you know, I'm gonna grow up as a Christian, and I'm gonna say, how do I love the man I am married to?
Amen.
Rather than wait for him to become the man I wish I were married to.
Boy, I hope you're listening out there. I think that there's many people who are looking for that escape clause that John mentioned, and that, like Maureen mentioned, instead of loving the man you're married to, you're trying to get him to be the man you think he should be. This is a really important point here. So you need to ask yourself, is my marriage my cross right now? You know, the Bible says, if any man come after me, Jesus said this, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And so you need to ask yourself, your marriage situation, if you're in a bad marriage right now, is this temporarily the cross that God wants you to carry? Rather than, well, this isn't the will of God because I shouldn't be suffering like this and he shouldn't be treating me like this and blah, 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 blah. I'm out of here. Don't throw away your marriage. I think the way I've always compared it is divorce is like an amputation. If my hand is hurting me, my arm is itching or hurting, I don't cut it off, for crying out loud, you know? You try to save the parts of your body because they're precious. As a matter of fact, I don't know how much time we have, but it just reminded me, I was looking at a quote earlier today, and I don't even know who Burton Howard is, but it says, marriage, if you want something to last forever, you treat it differently. You shield it and protect it. You never abuse it. You don't expose it to the elements. You don't make it common or ordinary speech impediment. If it ever becomes tarnished, you lovingly polish it until it gleams like new. It becomes special because you've made it so. And it grows more beautiful and precious as time goes by. I just found that today, a quote on marriage. And I think it's so true. Try to save your marriage rather than think you're going to start over and find somebody better, or this jerk, I need to get away from this person. Is your marriage the cross that God would have you bear right now? Well, that was a blast from the past. I hear the music. I guess the time is up, folks. So listen, we'll pick up here tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Lord bless.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to you.